Well, back to some domestic news in this country. A number of big cities, including Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, are seeing a jump in the homicide rate this year. In Washington, the number of killings is up 50% compared with last year. In Baltimore, the murder rate is up 56%. But the county in between those two cities, Prince George's County, Maryland, has not seen a comparable rise this year, nor in the past 4 years. From Here and Now contributor WAMU, Matt Bush reports on how the county got murders down and kept it that way.
The town of Riverdale Heights in Maryland is just a few miles outside Washington, D.C. Marty Newman has lived here for 30 years.
Well, I walk the community at least twice a day, from top to bottom, mostly for exercise, but also because I love to talk to people.
Newman heads the Community Association for Riverdale Heights and two neighboring towns, all told about 750 homes.
More than 4 years ago, I wouldn't have felt safe to walk the community alone, and I feel perfectly safe to do that now.
Back in the bad days, Newman says it wasn't unusual for students from the nearby middle school to get mugged as they walked home. A playground went largely unused because it was littered with drug paraphernalia. Then, 7 years ago, Newman says the town got a wake-up call.
Yeah, we had I'm told they were former gang members on Lower Quintana Street who were shot and killed. And that really opened up everybody's eyes to these are not just wayward children. You know, we have a real issue.
Similar scenarios were playing out in other neighborhoods across Prince George's County. Then police started digging through data and seeing that certain crimes were fueling the high murder rate. Hank Stawinski is Prince George's County's deputy police chief and the department's unofficial numbers guy.
What we pay particular attention to are the crimes that could feed into homicides. So those are your armed robberies, your citizen robberies, as well as certain assaults.
Stawinski starts each day with a spreadsheet of crimes reported in the last 24 hours. When rising numbers of armed robberies show up, and they're concentrated in one area, alarms go off. Armed robberies tend to be the biggest feeders of homicides.
Their goal is to rob people of whatever they have on them and get what they think they need. But in that interaction, which is a very tense interaction between the criminal and the victim, let's say the victim doesn't do what the criminal anticipates, or it could be the other way around. And in a fraction of a second, that suspect now decides, well, I'm just going to shoot this person. So you're trying to prevent now a homicide that there was no prior planning for.
So one of the keys to stopping homicides, Stawinski says, track the armed robberies and try to stop them before they become homicides.
And that's where we've had, I believe, some of our success.
Stawinski says a focus on those specific crimes brought new numbers.
For the first 10 years of the 2000s, we had on average 126 homicides a year. So starting in 2012, we had 64. 2013, we had 56. 2014, we had 54.
The numbers were going down. To put them in perspective, Prince George's County's murder rate is now well below what Washington and Baltimore average, even though the county has a much higher population. Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker looks at many factors when it comes to crime, but two in particular. Baker says high school dropout rates feed into homicides.
There are very few jobs for people who don't have a high school diploma. These were young people that had time on their hands, and they could get into incidents where it would escalate into, you know, either a petty crime or a homicide.
Baker adds access to health care has a role too.
Health care and access to health care has a big part in why people were absent from school, why kids didn't do well in school, and why crimes were committed. The mental health or physical health went into the whole attitude of people that would put themselves in a situation that could lead to being arrested.
Baker started a program called the Transforming Neighborhoods Initiative 3 years ago to help fix those problems. Under it, six areas of the county see comprehensive government aid, not just police, but social workers, school psychologists, health officers, code enforcers, and public works. One of the first things the program tackled was a glut of vacant homes, a leftover from the national foreclosure crisis, which hit Prince George's County especially hard. Lavinia Baxter officially works in economic development for the county, but that's not what she was doing when she was assigned to the Kentland-Palmer Park area under Transforming Neighborhoods.
Oh, man, just picking up trash and throwing out old junk that was sitting on the curb. We got a dumpster out there. We cut grass. We raked leaves. We did it all.
Some homes were torn down. Others were renovated and sold. The hope is that the cleanup will eliminate another factor that drives crime. Riverdale Heights is in one of the designated transforming neighborhoods areas, and longtime resident Marty Newman says the program has lived up to its name.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I could tell you it is greatly improved, as far as I'm concerned, and I hear that from our community members a lot.
As we chatted, one of Newman's neighbors was taking down a for sale sign from his front yard. A day after putting his house on the market, he'd received three offers for it and accepted one for $15,000 above his asking price. And that, Newman says, was unthinkable just a short time ago. For Here and Now, I'm Matt Bush.